afternoon. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, can I have everybody stand up? How y'all doing today? Good, good. Is everybody doing good? Yep. If you're not doing good, raise your hand. We want to pray for you if you're not doing good. Let's pray for these people who are not having a hard day. Listen, we all have hard days, amen? Lord, we just lift up these people who have their hands up. Pray you bless them. I pray they feel seen by you, that you know them, you know their burden. I pray you give them direction on how to lay it down at your feet. And Lord, I pray you challenge us today, as you do every week, to be more like Jesus. And it's in your name we pray, amen. Hey, if that person's near you, just give them a big hug. If those people that raise their hand, give them a big hug. Get that brother a hug. Get that brother a hug. Feel the love. Feel the love. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And if you are a visitor, my name is Miles and Pastor Rock, and welcome to our church. We are one church with six locations, five in San Diego, one in Oahu. And we are here in Point Loma, broadcast from Point Loma, and want to say hello to all the people watching online. Our mission is to make disciples who know God. Everyone say, know God. That's salvation. Say, grown community. Get in a small group where you, this big church becomes small. And then make a difference. Say, make a difference. Do something. Go do something for God. Amen? There's a story in the book of Daniel where King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was the king at the time in Babylon. And he had a dream about something that he didn't understand. So he called his magicians and his soothsayers and astrologers into a meeting and said, I had a dream. I don't understand my dream. I need you to interpret my dream. So can you tell me what the dream was and then tell me what it meant? And they're like, well, King, you know, we're astrologers and we're, you know, magicians and all that kind of stuff, but you need to tell us the dream. Then we'll tell you what it meant. He said, no, no, no. You're trying to get by. I'm paying you to be my astrologers and magicians. I want you to tell me what I dreamt, and then I want you to tell me what it meant. And they said, King, no one's ever asked anybody this. Not the gods, only the gods of the heavens know this, and you need to tell us what the dream was, and then we'll tell you what it meant. He said, listen, if you don't tell me what I dreamt and what it meant, I'm going to kill you. And so time went by, and they couldn't do it, obviously, and he started killing them. And then Daniel, a man who followed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which, by the way, is the same God of the New Testament, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said, well, I know my God can tell me your dream and what it meant. So Nebuchadnezzar said, cool, go talk to your God and come back and see if you're right. And so Daniel went to God, and God told him, here's what Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, and here's what it meant. And then Nebuchadnezzar stopped killing all his magicians, and he promoted Daniel in his government. By the way, I was talking to a young lady the other day. I was witnessing to this young lady who doesn't believe in God, and she believes in energy, and we're one with the universe and all that kind of stuff. And I said, okay. I said, but who are you? Can you talk to that God? And can that God help you? And she literally said, I have a God that can help you. I said, well, that's not a God then. And so we're going to make sure that whatever you worship, that you can speak to that God, and that God can speak to you, and that God can help you. Can I get amen? I mean, if you don't, that's what my God does. So I don't know of any better God than that. If your God doesn't do that, you want to get on the Bible God train, okay? So, but what happened was Daniel was able to tell him his dream. So here's my question to you. What is God's dream for you? God has a plan for your life. Now, if you have a job, great. If you have a family, great. But what is God's dream for you? You may be in the wrong job. You may be taking the wrong classes. Imagine going to school for 4 years, spending 100 something, 200 grand, and then you work at Starbucks. And you don't use that. And what was that all about? What did you do it for? What the job you're in, the relationship you're in, why are you with that person? How are you becoming more like Christ? Every year we get to this part of the year and we have a series called Heart for the House. Everyone say Heart for the House. This year we're gonna call it Heart for Your House. Say Heart for Your House. And your house, all your houses, is twofold. Not only is this your house, but what about your house, your family, your plan. And what we do every year is we give you a big picture of what The Rock is going to do next year. And then we have a miracle offering in a month, which we're going to do a little different, but we're going to have it this year. But what we want to include in that miracle offering is not only our dreams for our house, but your dreams for your house. So when you make the offering, you are not only investing in our dreams, you are investing in your dreams. November 21st, 22nd, 23rd, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're going to have every campus open. And if you want to come, bring your offering, but also bring your dream so we can pray for you and your offering. So it's very personal, because when you give, you need to understand you are making a deposit into your spiritual life. You're making a deposit in the kingdom of God, because God doesn't waste stuff. And so in the next few weeks, I want you to be thinking about, God, show me your dream for me. You may have been in a job for a long time. You may be at school taking a degree. You're like, you know what? Do I really want to do this? And by the way, trust me when I say it, it's really not about you. It's not about what you want, what you feel. It's really about what, and by the way, it's not about what your parents want or parents feel. It's really about what God wants for you. Because you can live your whole life trying to please somebody else and get to 50, 60, 70 years old and go, what did I just do? I just wasted my whole life. Because it's going to go by like that. I went to a gala last night with my daughter-in-law. We went on a date, me and my daughter-in-law. We call it a date. I was her plus one. I'd never been a plus one. They didn't have that term when I was growing up. But I was a plus one. So we went out and we went down. I had my tux on and da 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 da. And driving back, we started talking about life. Driving there and back. And my grandson, her son, is 10. So in 8 years, he's gone. And her daughter, my granddaughter, is 1.5, 18 months. And she's just realizing in 8 years, MJ, my grandson, he's going to be out of the house. Oh, he's going to be out of the house. But it went by like that. So what is God's purpose for your life, and are you willing to invest it? So let me share with you what our vision for the church is. It is absolutely very simple. It is next generation evangelism. Come on. We're gonna do small groups. We're gonna still have church, still have all the events, but we're gonna put hot sauce on going after these kids to get the gospel to them. I'm gonna tell you. Now, I'm gonna make a statement that I saw this 20 years ago, and I didn't realize then, well, it's happened like a frog in a kettle. I don't know if you know that term, a frog in a kettle, where if you put a frog in water in a pot, on a stove, and you turn the fire up, the frog will sit in there and boil to death because the temperature gets so gradual, he doesn't realize it, and he dies. It's called frog in a kettle. The devil has done a masterful job of deceiving our government, leaders in our community, who you will be judged by God for what you're doing, to poison our kids and pervert our kids about who they are, what they should be doing with their bodies, what they should be doing in their relationships. He's done such a masterful job, a lot of y'all don't even know it. And there are grown, educated adults promoting perversion on little kids. I was at an event 2 Mondays ago in Dallas, and I was driving to the airport with a few people who were speakers at this event. And one of them was this dude who goes to school board meetings, and he jams up the school boards for the pornography they're putting in these schools and in the libraries. And I seen him before, and I'm like, yo, man, what do you do? He said, I do this. I said, I seen you. You be shouting them people down. He said, yeah, because he was in the front seat. He threw back to me a book that was a book for little kids. And it was straight up pornography, straight in cartoon form, and explaining every sexual thing you can imagine. There was stuff I didn't even know. I was like, what's that? Bro, I was trying to unhear this stuff. And there's no way I could show it to you on a Sunday. There's no way I would, you know, I don't even know if I would show it to too many adults. It was straight up pornography. But this was for little kids. And there are school boards of educated adults saying this is good for kids. And the culture is getting to the point, has gotten to the point where this is okay. That's just one thing. The devil has done a masterful job. And so, and many other things. I'll read some stats to you. Suicide is up 8% year after year after year. Suicide is the leading cause of death, 14 to 15-year-olds. Second leading cause of death, 16 to 19-year-olds. Drugs up 61%. Alcohol, 62% of teenagers, 12th grade abuse alcohol. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on. And think about this. You're 14 to 15, and the number one cause of death, you kill yourself. That's satanic. The devil has made their life so messed up that they want to take their life. And the only thing, the best thing, the number one thing that's going to save them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to do is leverage that and get that out to them. Now, so what does that look like? It looks like very specifically, we are working, as a matter of fact, I got a meeting right after the service today. We're working on a curriculum to teach all of y'all how to share your faith. Like in a very conversational, boom, 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 boom way. And it's going to be more simple than you think. We're going to have a 6-week series leading up to Easter. We're going to have a 6-week training in the small groups. And I'm telling you, it's going to be more simple than you think because we're practicing it now. We're filming. We're in the process of producing these videos. And we are going to give this training to any church in the world that wants it for free. And in San Diego, we're blasting San Diego. We're actually having a meeting in 3 weeks with pastors to say, look, we want to give all this to you for free. And leading up to Easter, have an amazing Easter. 3 weeks after that is Mother's Day weekend. We're going to have a countywide evangelistic event either at the Sports Arena Bay House, one of those arenas, and invite all of y'all to bring all these kids and give the gospel to them. And then we're going to train them to go reach their friends because they really got the juice. And if we can train them to reach their friends, oh my goodness, it's going to be on. So our investment, and we're already raising money for this, our investment is as a church is that's our vision. That's what we want to raise money for. That's what we want to go invest in and give this away for free so churches don't have to pay for it. But so by the way, so here's a question. We would love for you to be part of that, but also what has God put on your heart? And I want you to be thinking about and simply asking God, what is your dream for my life? What is your dream for my life? Now, whenever we mention tithes and offerings, sometimes people's panties get in a bunch. You know, they get all ruffled up. So I want to talk about that because as a church, say as a church, we need to have, you don't have to repeat this part. We need to have a right theology of giving, a right theology of what tithing is and why we do it. For some people, when you hear tithing, you don't think anything because you ain't going to do it. I ain't doing that. Some of y'all rejoice when you hear it's time to give. Matter of fact, if you've been blessed by your generosity, come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on. I had someone say to me when I was talking about fasting years ago, he says, what does not eating food have to do with my relationship with God? I said, you have to stop eating to find out. I could tell it to you all day long. But it's like having a baby, right? When I tell people, when you have a baby, you're going to feel love you never had before. What's it like? I said, I can't explain it. You just got to go have a baby. Hopefully you have a baby under the right circumstances. All right, so that's another story. So when people hear we're going to it's time for tithes and offerings, you're like, yay! And other people are like, pass. And then there's some of y'all who fear a little fear of guilt. Because you know, I need to do that. I need to be faithful. But there's this little voice in you saying, but God won't honor his promise to you. That's the liar. God will always honor his promise to you. Look to the person next to you and say, God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. It's like some of y'all got a subscription to cable and y'all got a subscription to Netflix and, you know, Apple TV and you got a subscription to some food service or you got a subscription to some life coach. And the more money you give, the more benefits and access you have. You got bonus content and all this stuff. Y'all know what I'm saying? Giving is similar because every aspect of our relationship with God is similar. Because the more faithful you are and the closer you draw to God, the more of God you experience. Now, it doesn't mean the more God you have, because you have it all. It's really about what you're surrendering to Him and what you're experiencing. And I read in our offering, if you sow sparingly, if you trust God a little bit, okay, well, God will bless that. But if you trust God a whole lot, oh, snap. Can you imagine if you said, Lord, I'm just going to give you my whole life. That person is going to be blessed differently than the person says, I'll go to church every once a month, and I'll come late, but other than that, I ain't doing it. That person has a different experience. And so I want to talk to you about tithing and being generous so you can at least understand the opportunity you have to be blessed. How many of y'all want to be blessed financially? Okay, let's just try that one. Elbow above the ear. How many of y'all want to be blessed financially? Okay, look around the room. Wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. Okay, great. So when I go to the gym, you know, when you go to the gym and you see 40 people walking the gym, the people who are in shape, unless you just started, so I get it, but if 100 people walk in, same 100 people, and 9 months later, some of those people are out of shape and some of those people are in shape, the people who are in shape are the people who really wanted it. The people who are still out of shape, they didn't really want it, but they raised their hand. So my point is that all of y'all raised your hand. What's really going to prove if you're serious is what you do. So we're going to teach you what the Bible says about money, and then you have to decide. And by the way, your giving is tied to our vision. It's tied to your vision. It's tied to your faithfulness and your blessing. And it's something that you can ask God to show you. This is not some things that, well, you know, you missed it. No, you're not going to miss it. And you need to say to God, God, I want to be faithful in my prayers. I want to be faithful in my reading, but I'm going to be faithful in my giving. And please open my eyes to show that my faithfulness works, which basically means that you are faithful. Jesus, out of his 38 parables, 16 of them are on money. There are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer, 500 verses on faith, 2,000 on money and possessions. Why? Because money is a master. Money is in competition with your heart. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the problem. And money and possessions. And when I say money, I don't mean cash, Bitcoin, stocks, nice things, cars, houses, jewelry. That's what I mean by possessions. Things that you're doing this to, when God is saying, I want you to hold on to me, and you're holding on to it, that's the problem. He doesn't not want you to have things. He just doesn't want those things to have you. And so what he's trying to say is, let it go so I can give you something better. And by the way, don't let your Timex watch go so he can give you a Rolex. I'm not saying that. They both tell the same time. But let go of your trust in that for your trust in me. Because at the end of the day, all of this is going to be a puff of smoke anyway. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Money's a master. For either it will hate the one and love the other, or else it will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't. You can't get up every day and say, I'm going to make all the money I want. I'm going to make all the money I want. I want. I'm going to be a millionaire. And have the sentence end there. Now, you can. I ain't hating on you. I know a lot of people got a lot of money. Great. Say this, though. I'm going to make as much money as I can so I can serve God the best I can. And guess what? If you have that attitude, God says, I can trust you. I can trust you. And I know people with a whole lot of money that are very generous and got there being generous. And trust me, if you say, well, if God gives me $1 million, I'll start tithing then. Oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you won't, because if God gave you $1 million and you saw you had to pay $520,000 in tax and your tithe was $100,000, you ain't, no, you got to start that now. So let's talk about what tithing is. Tithing, which is 10% of your gross. You might say, well, is it 10% of my gross or my net because I got to pay the government? Well, who are you going to pay first? God. So just so y'all don't know the gross of your net, your gross is your, you know, if your salary is $100,000, your net is what you bring home after taxes. How many of y'all want God to bless your net? Raise your hand. Okay. How many, let me be this. How many of you want God to bless your net instead of your gross? How many want God to bless your gross instead of your net? Yeah. Some of y'all don't, confuse. Y'all like, oh my. You got a job? You need to know this. This is maybe we need to go back to what a paycheck is. When you get paid, let's say you made 100, I'm gonna make it easy because 100 is easy to subtract from. Let's say you make $100,000. You're like, oh boy, if I can make $100,000, trust me, you make $100,000, you could buy a car. You made $100,000, you could buy a car. You're gonna pay, let's say, $35,000 in taxes, or let's just hypothetically say, now you're at $65,000. Do you want God to increase your what you take home or increase the $100,000? I'd rather have him increase this because now you're going to take home more than you did before. God says, I get paid first. Who you pay first is who you value first. Look what the Bible says in the tithe. It says, Malachi, in what ways have you robbed me in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, this whole nation. What that means is we're going to see here in a minute that the tithe belongs to God. And if you keep it, you are keeping something that doesn't belong to you. Now let me back up. None of it belongs to you. This doesn't belong to you. Jesus bought you with a price on the cross. So you don't even belong to you. This is on rent. You are renting this. This is going to die. I was signing papers the other day, and it was asking me, what do you want to do? What do you want to happen? I started crying when I signed this. What do you want to happen to your body when you die? This was 5 days ago. Do you want to give away your organs? Which ones? Do you want to be your body for research? That means you're going to be on the table for 10 years. I said, no, I don't want that. They said, what do you want to give away? I said, I want you to give away my heart. I said, this doesn't belong to me. And your body don't belong to you. Your money don't belong to you. Your car don't belong to you. And the devil wants you to think this makes you something. It doesn't. It's a lie. How many of you had money before and all of a sudden it was gone? It's like, oh. Can I get a good amen? I mean, you were getting paid, and all of a sudden, I still can't eat. I still can't take my girl out. I gotta go to McDonald's. I can't go to the Four Seasons Hotel. I mean, what's up? If you know what the Four Seasons Hotel is, if you don't, you need to try it. God says you robbed me. There was a friend of mine. His daughter was dating a guy, or gonna date a guy, and his father looked to see if he tithed, because his father was a pastor in the church. He looked to see if he tithed, and he says, "Because I don't want you I don't want you dating a thief." You don't want to be, imagine if you, this is your tithe and you ain't giving it to God and it belongs to him. He's like, hey God, can you bless me? He's like, what's that behind your back? Why are you stealing my money? Now, does he need your money? Nope. He needs your trust. That's what it's all about. He needs your trust. You should never, ever say these words. God, all that money's mine. You can't take it. This is mine. You can't touch it. My house is mine. You can't touch it. Just even to think the audacity to think that. That puts you in a proper perspective that, man, God, it's all yours. And God, I am so thankful that I have a place to live. I am so thankful. Look at the homeless people along all our freeways. I am so thankful that I have a car. I'm so thankful that there's a bus that I can get on. There's a trolley I can get on. I'm so thankful that I have clothes on today that I didn't wear yesterday. I went on a vacation and we packed warm clothes because the weather said it was going to be 80s, and we got there and it was in the 60s and raining. And for 2 weeks we were there, and I had three long pants and three long shirts. I wore clothes 3 days in a row. I was nasty. Lord, I thank you that that's not my everyday experience. That was just last month, by the way. I thank you that that's my everyday experience. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and test me. Everyone say, test me. God says, test me. Say, test me. Only place in the Bible says God says, test me. And look what it says the Lord. If you will not open, if you put the verse up on the screen, if you will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Test me. When I was a kid, we used to do this. You know, we were going to fight somebody. You would say, I dare you to step over that line. Y'all do that still? Y'all did that? Step over that. I dare you step over the line. And then bro man would be like, what's up? Like, oh, all right, step over that line. Step over that line. God's like, step over that line. So here's my test question to you, my challenge to you. Start tithing and see what he does. Oh, you're just trying to get my money. I'm not getting your money. You're trying to get blessed. I'm trying to help you do what the Bible says, just like every other Sunday. Look what it says in Matthew. Jesus affirms it. Jesus says in Matthew 23:23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You can't tithe and be an idiot and expect to get blessed. You can't be nice and not tithe and expect to be blessed. He wants your whole heart. He gave his whole life on the cross. He wants your whole heart. And it says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Yeah, pay your tithe, but also be nice. Leviticus 27:30 says the tithe belongs to God. All the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, it is holy to the Lord. So when you get your check, I want you to look at the gross number and say, okay, what's 10% of that? That belongs to God. God says, that's your generosity starter kit. Because you need to just try that and watch what happens. Try and watch what happens. Oh, wow. God is awesome. And then there's going to be opportunity for you to give over and above that. You're going to say, God is awesome. And you're going to find out that, wow. I don't know if you know the organization Hobby Lobby. Y'all know that, Hobby Lobby? Yeah. Okay, Hobby Lobby. And forgive me if I get these numbers wrong, but I think they're pretty accurate. They make about $8 billion a year. They're not open on Sunday. Think about that. Think about that. They're not open on Sunday because they want to honor God. And they're the number one retailer in the world. They give away $4 billion a year, half of it. Now, what? Now, not only did I read that, I know the owner. I've met him a couple times, and his family. And they signed the company over to God. They don't even own the stock anymore. They just work there. Even the owner, the guy who started it, he is an employee. He doesn't own the company. He says, it belongs to God. And God said, I will bless you because I can trust you. I'm just saying, is anybody here make $8 billion? Because if you do, I'll be right over there after cat. Now, that's 50%. Because they said, you know what? God is faithful. You have to decide first. Tithe is just, it is what it is. But over and above that, God is going to randomly say, hey, go buy that person dinner. Go bless them. Well, if I gave 10%, don't do that. Just let God bless you. Because if you walk around like this, God's going to put stuff in your hand that you would never be able to achieve on your own. And so the first step is for all of you. If this is your church, are you tithing? Are you putting yourself in a position, a place to be blessed? I'm going to land this plane with this last point. 1 Timothy 6:9. Generosity tells God we trust him. Being greedy tells God we don't trust him. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. If you are on welfare in this country, you are in the top 89% of wealth in the world. If you're on welfare. So when it says rich, you're rich. We have a nice place to live. You have clothes. You have clean water. I mean, if you've never traveled outside the country, you have no. And by the way, if San Diego's your reference point, it's a bad reference point. This is a wealthy, beautiful city. You are blessed beyond measure. That you don't just go south of the border. If you last time you were in TJ, you were so drunk you didn't realize what was going on around you. Go down there on a Saturday afternoon while you're wide awake, okay, and pay attention to what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that people live in that dump? Yep. People live in that dump. Do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives to us richly all things. Let them do good, that the rich may be good, and that you may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. We're going to take communion here in a minute, but here's my challenge to you. Go home and say, do I trust God with my finances? It's a yes or a no. Have I had to trust God when I had to choose from giving and bills? 100%. 100%. When I first got into ministry, it was 3 years before my paycheck at the church I worked at, 3 years before my paycheck paid my bills. I was under $1,200 a month, day one. No, I'm sorry, over $2,000 a month, paid day one. And I said, no, I'm gonna do the job. And for 3 years, my paycheck did not pay my bills, but God did. Standing here, proof. And been in situations since then, but that was God's training ground. God said, are you gonna trust me? He offered me a job. I had 3 kids, a house and 2 cars, and the pastor offered me a job at $500 a month. I had a mortgage, 2 cars, and 3 kids, and a wife. One wife, 3 kids, and God said, and he said, $500 a month. I took 3 years of calculus, so I can divide 4 weeks in a month into $500 and get $125 a week. I do that, right, just like that. And it was like, and in 1 second, four into 500 is $125 a week, I'll take the job. Because it was what I was called to. Am I telling you to do that? No, I'm just telling you to trust God. And trust God and watch what he does. If you don't tithe, let's go. Go home tonight. Sign up. You don't need to wait for next Sunday. And then next Sunday, the devil will have you miss church. And then the week after that, you'll forget. Be faithful. The definition of loving God is obeying God. And your obedience is measured by how fast and how completely you do what he says. So if God says jump, you're not like, well, where do you want me to jump to, God? And, you know, can I change my shoes? And, you know, am I going to go real high? What am I going to? Just jump. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, there are people here who are being challenged right now because you're getting in their pocket. The place the devil told them is off limits, even to God. But the devil's a liar. He's a destroyer. I pray they trust you. I pray they watch you bless them. And I pray as you bless them, their vision for their life will be clearer. I pray as you bless them, their dreams, your dream for them, like you had for Nebuchadnezzar, will be clearer. And as we prepare for our communion, if you would like to take communion, we encourage you to ask Christ to be your Savior first. So if you would like to take communion and you need to ask Christ to be your Savior, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I trust you. I love you. Please forgive me. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I want to be born again. I want you to be my Savior. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high and we can see you pray for you. Good, 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 good. Lord, thank you for all those hands. You can put your hands down. I pray you bless them. And as we take their first communion today, that you would supernaturally change their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.